smarte sparetips hos Kiwi.
Her et iskaldt sparetips. First Price is garanterte friskunder I Kiwi.
Ja, nå får du 16-pack First Price saftis til 32,90 og 15-pack First Price småismix til 79,90. Og mange andre smarte sparetips hos Kiwi.
Hei, det Helle Stenkløv fra Jernverket. Nå thrash-filmen Murder in the Front Row ut, og da passer det fint å plukke frem et intervju jeg gjorde med Alex Skolnick fra Testament for en stund siden.
So I'm here with the Alex Skolnick from Testament. Hello.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here in Norway.
This is, I don't know how many times you played here, but the first time was in 1987 at this very same stage.
Yeah, that's very, very strange. I didn't know that. I'm guessing they renovated and they made it look newer because it doesn't look that old. It looks like a, you know, fairly new venue. And we didn't remember playing here until we walked in and somebody that works here said he saw us in 1987, which is very crazy. I was 18 years old.
That's
a little bit more mature
crazy.
Now, yes.
But can you tell me how it all began? When did you start playing and end up in Testament?
When I was here in 1987, I had been playing for about 7 years, which isn't that long, total. I started playing when I was 10. I was a big fan of the Beatles, which I still am. Kiss is really the band that made me want to play guitar and get into hard rock, and also the fact that, you know, in the San Francisco Bay Area, there was a big hard rock and heavy metal scene. Metallica moved there, so they were playing around, and then a lot of the other bands like Exodus and Death Angel that are still going, a lot of bands that aren't still going. And then Legacy was a band that was supporting some of the better-known bands like Exodus and Slayer, who had just started coming up from Southern California. And I was looking to join a band, and I heard that the band Legacy needed a guitar player. The guitar player left, and they had some gigs coming up. And I thought, oh, this is great, because I need to join a band, I need to play gigs. And I was trying to put bands together in my high school, and it just wasn't working. And I had trouble finding people who had been playing as long as I had. So I heard about this band, and the guitar player quit. I joined, and we ended up changing our name to Testament and doing our first record, and you know, the rest is history.
It's quite perfect, too, because you know Fenris from Dark Throne?
The Norwegian, I know the band, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He said that Legacy, your debut album, is the only album in the world that's 100% thrash. Not a single track of death metal in it. It has all the galop riffings that he means. It's the only one.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think, we found a sound that was, you know, a combination of where I was coming from and where Eric was coming from. Eric was coming from more of a place of like Slayer, Motorhead, Venom, you know, kind of the real punky, trashy bands. I was coming from, you know, Ozzy and Van Halen and Dio. I was really, you know, coming from over a hard rock place, and I liked virtuosic guitar. And at that time, if you played very technical guitar, you didn't play in a band like, you know, like this. You played for a glam metal band. But I didn't like glam metal. I didn't like the way they looked. I liked the guitar playing. Yeah, and I listened to those records, obviously. I admit it. I had Dokken records and Rat records. But I never liked the idea of I hated the look. I liked going to thrash concerts better. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, you know, if somebody could sort of combine, like, the guitar playing of, you know, like Lynch and DeMartini, but try to squeeze that into the more heavy stuff, that was where I think, you know, we came upon something different. Mm-hmm. And it was, yeah, it was pure thrash. I mean, we had harmony, we had, you know, we had guitar solos that changed chords, but we also had, you know, we had the very heavy riff stuff that Eric did, and it, yeah, it became like a thrash blueprint in a way. Mm-hmm.
And you stayed with the band for a few years.
7 years.
Before you left in 92.
Mm-hmm.
What was the reason for this? Was it like, did you grow tired of the trash stuff? Or?
Well, I think I personally got to a point where it was, you know, 7 years, it's like a marriage. You know, they say 7 years is like, you know, it's this
7 year crisis.
Yeah. So in the United States, they call it the 7 year itch. And I had been in the band since I was in high school, you know, since I was 16. So I hadn't really experienced life or music outside of the band. And I just, you know, I wanted to see if I could be a guitar player that's not just known for this band. Hmm. And I really wanted to work with different types of musicians and be the type of guitar player that could play for different types of musicians and different types of music, the types of music that I like, which I've done and I still do. But a number of years later, when it came time, I got a call to do some reunion shows with that. It went so well and felt so natural that it made sense to do some records and tour and see how it went, and it's gone great. And we started this whole new phase of the band, and it wasn't planned. It just felt natural. But at the time, yeah, it was a turning point. I wasn't the only one who left the band. I mean, within a year, the drummer would leave. Within 2 years, the bass player would leave, and there would be this, you know, a lot of different musicians leaving. So it was a combination. It was my own desire to just improve as a musician and just be an all-around musician that, you know, still love heavy metal but can play, you know, anything. Mm-hmm. If I get called to play, somebody asks me to play like Jeff Beck, I want to be able to do that. If I want to play with a blues musician, I want it to be able to have the skills to do that. And to play with, you know, advanced musicians. So some of the musicians I've worked with, like, you know, the bass player Stu Hamm, who played for Satriani and Vi, we still play together. And I've worked with, you know, a lot of other musicians that I grew up listening to.
Because you did jazz and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And at the time, like, I loved that music, and I just felt like, okay, now is, like, I either have to step away and just really reinvent myself as a player, or I'll just be a guy that does this band, and that's it. And that's fine, too. And I think for some players, that's what they want to do. They're happy just being, you know, the guy from that band, whatever band it is. But I always knew I was meant to be, like, an all-around guitar player.
The I don't know if you agree, but one of the craziest and biggest things you have done must be the Planetary Collision project. How did you work to find all the musicians from all over the world to participate in such a project? One thing is the idea, but then it's completing it.
Yeah, well, that was it was an idea that was in my head for a long time that I didn't know if I would ever do. I have lots of ideas, you know. you never know which ones are going to make sense to pursue or not. When I did this record a few years ago, Testament was on a break about a year. The other projects that I do were ready to have a break. So it was a pretty open period. And I had been working with some musicians that I really wanted to record with and had ideas for. When I toured with my trio, and we toured with Rodrigo y Gabriela, who are this very well-known acoustic duo, that somehow reached a mainstream audience. It's amazing. But they're just amazing. They're great, great players. And I did a bunch of shows with them. And I always wanted to do like my own song with them, with like more of an acoustic style, with inspired by guitar players like Al DiMeola and John McLaughlin. These are like big heroes of mine. So, they said, sure, yeah, whatever, I'll do it. So I knew I had them, and they were very hard to get musicians. And then one of the shows that I did with Rodrigo y Gabriela, there was another band on the bill, Trio Gibran, that are all oud players, and Palestinian oud players, amazing musicians. And I talked to one of them, Anad Gibran, and maybe I'd like to record with you. He said sure. And then just one by one, I started meeting these other musicians. Another friend of mine knew Kiran Alawalia, who's this great Indian singer. She works with this great Indian tabla player. And then some other friends of mine knew the group House of Waters, which is based in New York, and we became friends, and they became slowly I realized I had enough musicians to really make this record. And then just the more musicians I got to know within this time period, the more adventurous it got, and I realized, okay, I want somebody from like as many places of the world as I can get, and still have it make sense musically. So it just, it was just a project I dove headfirst into, and really had a good time doing.
Not something you could do with Testament every day.
Well, that's another thing too, yeah. If, I'm very proud of my work with Testament, but it's really a small part, even though it's very visible and it's very big, as far as how many people know about it, it's not just the only thing I do. And if the fact that I'm able to do a whole record like Planetary Coalition, produce it, compose it, gather all the that's also what I do. So you should look to that as well as the solos and riffs on Testament is one thing, but I think that's a really good example of the the scope of what I do. And in some cases, you can hear there's some ideas that, if I played them through a distorted guitar, it might work for Testament. Mm-hmm. I'd have to slow it down, of course.
But it's Testament has put out a lot of classic albums, mm-hmm. and just really too many to talk about each and every one of them. But which one is your least favorite?
My least favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting question. Well, it's very funny. The one that's my least favorite is also, in some ways, my favorite. Because I'm talking about the second record, The New Order. It's the least favorite because of the production. I think at that time, there really wasn't a blueprint on how to record heavy music at that time. Very, very few bands could make really good sounding metal. Right? It was such a new sound, and very hard to get because it's so compact and so busy, and the drums are so busy, and the guitars are so overdriven, and it's hard to make it sound smooth, without the speakers blowing up. And I give Metallica credit because they started making very good sounding records early on and were just able to get a really good sound. And on that record, it was just very challenging with the sound, and we had some disagreements with our producer at the time over the direction of the sound. So I think, you know, the sound, it's our least favorite sounding record. At the same time, the songs on that are some of my favorite, and they're some of the classic fan favorites. Fans probably would request more songs from that record than any other record. And we do songs, like the song Into the Pit is one that's always in the set. The song The New Order is in the set most of the time. And so many other tunes, The Preacher, Disciples of the Watch, all these songs really lasted and stood the test of time. And I think that was like the perfect blend where we weren't, we had a lot of very fast thrash music, but we weren't afraid to experiment and throw in harmony and change the rhythms around. And so I think, yeah, so in some ways that's my favorite, and so in the other ways I described, it's my least favorite.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
We also need some a good testament band story, whether it's something Spinal Tap-ish, a very cool moment that you remember, a crazy moment, a fan moment, or something just weird you remember with Testament throughout the years.
Oh, I mean, there's plenty.
There has to be
so many.
One that you can tell us.
There's so many, yeah, crazy stories. Yeah, well, let me think. Yeah, well, there was a funny one a couple years ago where when we do concerts, we sell T-shirts and people pay in cash, and yeah, the cash has to be brought to a bank. And a few years ago, Chuck was on his way to the bank with all the cash, and one of the concert promoters had a runner, sorry, that's what we call it, you know, the guy that, you know, drives us around, and I think for some reason he got pulled over. I think, you know, his car was like illegally registered, and he pulls over, and I think he got busted for marijuana too. He got pulled over, and the cop searched the car. There's marijuana. Anyway, there's Chuck in the car with like thousands of dollars of cash. And you know, it's like, okay, sure, you're not a big time pot dealer, you know. And then luckily the cop turned out to be a Testament fan.
So
he explained who he was, and you know, it was amazing. It was very lucky. But yeah, there's been some very, very funny stories like that. But that's a recent one that comes to mind.
And that actually says something about how big Testament is when a random cop knows who you are and believes you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's happened more and more recently. You know, I've seen, I'll be going through an airport and somebody doing airport security or immigration will recognize us, or he'll ask, "What band are you?" Oh, yeah, I used to listen, you know, to you guys, and yeah, it's amazing how it's really entered the regular world. It used to be just this very it used to feel like this very separate culture, and now, yeah, you can find people all over who know about Testament.
Social media helps a lot too.
Yeah, I think so. It also helps. Yeah, we. Even though, yeah, we were part of the genre of Metallica became a mainstream supergroup. So you probably couldn't find one person on the street that's never heard of Metallica. But not as many people will have heard of Testament, but a lot more people today will know of Testament than, say, you know, when we first time we played here.
And they might actually be fans and not just know who you are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
But But now we probably have to pick the songs before they come back to get me.
Okay.
We need one Testament song that's old and one that's new. That would be cool.
Okay.
And normally the show is 2 hours. I don't know how many favorites you have. If you can give me
2 hours. Wow.
Yeah. But it's if you can give me 2 Testament favorites and maybe 10 to 12 other favorites. Can
okay.
you do that? And
sure.
That?
All right. So for Testament, I'll pick a tune that we don't play very often. Actually, I don't even know if we've ever played it live. Maybe we did back in the day, but we, recently we haven't. But a song called "So Many Lives," which is from the album "The Ritual." That's a great tune and very different for us, and it's got a really cool melody.
He's on the songs.
Yep. And I'll start with that one, a little more of a deep cut. And then the other one, let's see, how about why don't we do, let's pick a real classic, Trial by Fire, which is one of our early classics, also from the New Order, the record I mentioned, which it's not my favorite sounding record, but yeah, that's another example of, yeah, one of these tunes that we did that just went on to be a favorite.
Yeah. What about other songs?
So it can be any time period, yeah. Or
as long as you like it.
Okay. Yeah, this may be a long song.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Deep Purple, Space Trucken from Made in Japan.
All right.
Which I played not that long ago, actually.
Oh, okay, cool.
Project Metal Allegiance, which is another project I'm involved with, which we have a new record that's going to come out later this year, too. tribute to Malcolm Young, because we lost Malcolm Young not that long ago. What's What Do You Do for Money, Honey? AC/DC.
Yep.
Okay. So I realized, I'm picking much earlier classic music. Let me try to come up with something more recent. Okay, I'll pick something really modern, really current, and I mentioned the. Actually, I don't think I mentioned this band. May surprise people that I like this band, because it's brutally, brutally heavy, but really good guitar playing and really very clear sounding band. So the band is the Black Dahlia Murder, and I'll pick one of their newer songs, Nightbringers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something very fresh and current. Let's do, because they recently called it quits. Black Dahlia, Dillinger Escape Plan.
Dillinger Escape Plan, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of Us is the Killer. I'll pick some of my favorite guitar tunes from the early period of when I joined Testament. I was listening to a lot of Ozzy. So Randy Rhoads is a big hero of mine. So let's, how about Flying High Again by Ozzy Osbourne.
That's a nice one.
It's a good, great tune. Ronnie, gotta pay tribute to Ronnie. So let's do a Dio tune. How about We Rock by Dio.
Yeah.
Which was also covered by Metal Allegiance. So you should check that out as well. How about Sabbath with Dio? Lost Children of the Sea. Sabbath with Ozzy. Into the Void. I've got to pick some Van Halen, even though lyrically it's not as metal as the other stuff. Atomic Punk. kind of like aggressive Van Halen song. And how about, well, no, yeah, another one of my favorite bands of all time, Scorpions. So, Scorpions with Uli, let's say Catch Your Train. Scorpions with Matthias, let's say Blackout, one of my favorite tunes. And then we need one more. So, yeah. I've done pretty good, right? Scorpions, yeah. Dio, Ozzy, Van Halen.
Yeah, it's perfect.
ACD, yeah, that's a lot of good bands. You know, I just recently did a tribute to Michael Schenker for his new record. And we're off, as long as we're talking about Scorpions, he's part of the Scorpions family tree. I'll pick an instrumental song because we don't have any instrumentals left. So, Into the Arena by the Michael Schenker Group.
Nice.
Great tune.
Then we're done, except for the jingle and a few photos. And,
Okay.
Hi, this is Alex Skolnick of Testament, and you're listening to Jernverket.
Du har hørt et intervju med Alex Skolnick fra Testament, som jeg gjorde på Rockefeller I fjor. Du kan se Testament live på både Tons og Rock og Stereo I sommer. Neste vecka 17. mai, og da tenkte jeg det kunne være fint med et intervju med et norsk band som også sønger på norsk. Jeg traff folk før de la opp I 2017.
Så solgte var det litt jævla dårlig, men plateselskapene var ganske åpne på midten av 70-tallet på å slippe til artister. Men det grenser for mye man vil klippe til.
Du spesielt begeistret for Thrash, anbefaler jeg deg også å høre Jernverket-episodene med Antichrist, Sodom, Insane og Necromantium. Du finner dem og mange andre intervjuer ved å abonnere på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverket.com. Det fint du legger igjen en god anmeldelse, da stiger Jernverket på podcastlistene og bidrar til at jeg kan fortsette med å lage programmet. Jernverket også ut etter nye samarbeidspartnere, så hvis du vil annonsere via podcast, kan du sende meg en melding. Og husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook, der finner du månedens album fra Katakomben og andre konkurranser, diskusjoner og nyheter. Helle Stenkløv, det meg. Jeg gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrock-intervju hver fredag. Vi høres!